Hello and welcome to our midweek podcast for the 23rd of September. Over the last few months, I've been reading through Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. It's not exactly a comfortable read as one realises how dysfunctional this church at Corinth had become and the pain it is causing Paul as he seeks to address the problems he has heard about. But Paul clearly has a deep affection for the believers there and is longing that they will come to a mature understanding of the gospel he had preached to them. The letter rises to a thrilling climax in the penultimate chapter, as Paul expounds on the certainty of Christ's resurrection as a historic past event, and how that guarantees a future bodily resurrection for all those who are in Christ. It's a great tonic to read the whole chapter, but in this podcast, we're just going to look at the last 9 verses. But before I read, let's pray. Psalm 25, verses 4 and 5. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are God, my Saviour, and my hope is in you all day long. Father, please be our teacher now, as we look to your word for the wisdom and truth that only you can give. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and beginning at verse 50. I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labour in the Lord is not in vain. It seems that many in Corinth had come to believe that life in God's kingdom would be a purely spiritual experience, with no physical aspect to it at all. Some even felt that they'd already reached their spiritual destiny, being able to speak in heavenly languages, and dismissing their physical bodies as irrelevant, even to the extent that they could live thoroughly immoral lives in the flesh. But Paul is adamant that there has to be a physical transformation before we can be received into God's kingdom. Verse 50, I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Just as a human being cannot survive on the moon or Mars without being clothed in a different kind of flesh, as a spacesuit, so our current sinful bodies just could not survive the purity of the atmosphere of the new heavens and the new earth. Now, Paul doesn't want this transformation event to be completely shrouded in mystery for us, so there are a few things he makes clear. Firstly, it's the same transformation that happens whether we are still alive at that point or whether we have died long before. Verse 51, we will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. Of course, Paul's generation and many generations since have died. Paul uses the language of falling asleep, which is a lovely way to speak of the death of a believer. Our generation will probably die too before the transformation event. But Paul assures us there will be some Christians still alive on that day. The gospel still at work. Secondly, he clarifies the timing, tying it to Jesus' return, his second coming. Verse 52. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. There will be no immediately preceding warning, no countdown. It will just happen. We have already had all the advance warning that will be given. Thirdly, the transformation will be permanent. The flesh and blood that have gone into the ground and rotted away to dust, or at least started to, will be clothed in a new body that is not subject to decay, a body that is imperishable and immortal. Well, we must await Jesus' return to enjoy this transformation, but isn't it wonderfully good news that this is our destiny if we are trusting in Jesus? This is the reverse of the curse in the Garden of Eden, when Adam ignored God's clear warning that you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die. Satan, of course, flatly contradicted God's warning, and Adam chose to believe Satan rather than the Lord God. As a result, Adam and his race, which includes us, were ever under the curse of death until Jesus came as a second Adam to undo that curse. Death does not have the final word. Jesus' return signals the death of death for the believer. What magnificent words Paul picks out from the prophecies of Isaiah and Hosea. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? They're great words to proclaim at a Christian funeral, but they're great words for us to proclaim at any time. Great words to hold on to when we find ourselves afraid of this virus. But it's sin that's brought death into this world, and it is God's righteous law that condemns us to death as sinners. But as Paul so eloquently puts it, thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, Paul continues, and I wonder what you might expect him to say after this exalted prose. Maybe words to encourage us in more praise and thankfulness to God. Maybe telling us to forget about our current troubles because of the glorious future ahead. My first feeling was that verse 58 came as something of an anticlimax, but actually I'm sure that Paul got it just right. What he has revealed of this great future needs to impact how we live now, and the main thing is standing firm. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labour in the Lord is not in vain. Standing firm means sticking to the gospel, sticking to the faith as revealed in the scriptures, not being swayed by people who may be clever and scholarly and may know a lot more about the Bible than we do, but who don't accept the authority of the Bible as God's word to them. Standing firm means holding on to our faith when difficulties and disappointments come into our lives, when we face illness, when we can't get the job we want, when a relationship turns sour or doesn't develop as we had hoped, when people let us down or hurt us, when we can no longer enjoy the activities we once took for granted, when someone close to us gives up on their faith. Stand firm, Paul says, because you are going to have an imperishable and immortal body. Don't give up and lose out on that. Well, let's pray. Father, thank you for the wonderful hope of resurrection bodies, imperishable and immortal, that Jesus has won for us through his glorious victory over death. As we face the prospect of a second wave of COVID-19 infections across our country, we pray for your mercy on our nation and our world, and especially on those close to us. But we thank you that we need not fear death, however it comes to us, because Jesus has taken that sting and when he returns, death will be swallowed up in victory. We do pray for Liz Connacott and grieving the death of her mum, and for her dad and Phil, Josh, Emma and Edward, as they share in that grief. Please comfort them in their great loss with this resurrection hope and with the love of Jesus, and help them in the practicalities of organising a fitting funeral at this difficult time. And Father, we thank you that we are able to meet together again on a Sunday. Thank you for the joy that has brought us as we have gathered in your presence to worship you and hear your word. Thank you that families with children of all ages have been able to be part of that. Please help us as we plan to restart Sunday Club soon. We pray for wisdom and diligence in thinking through the practical arrangements, and for a teaching programme adapted to the shorter time slot that will bring spiritual blessing to our Sunday Club children. We pray these prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thanks for listening, and do come and join us on Sunday morning or evening if you can.